On today's show, we play a new game called Half Empty or Half Full, where I'll try to take both sides of certain narratives that are out there about the Miami Heat. We'll talk about PJ Tucker, Kevin Durant, Donovan Mitchell, and a whole lot more coming up on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily podcast covering all things Miami Heat. However you might be tuning in on YouTube, Odyssey, or your favorite podcast app, thank you so much for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here, going solo without my usual co-host, David Ramil. And so here's what we're going to do today. I often get accused of being too negative, okay? And I think part of that is true. I think that's a fair criticism of me. I think my natural disposition is sort of devil's advocate. That's sort of what I try to do, poke holes in certain arguments and not just sort of succumb to the narratives that are already out there, not try to be too much of a homer. And that's just always been sort of my deal. But I understand it. You're listening to a Miami Heat podcast. You're probably a Miami Heat fan. You don't always want that negativity. And I probably go too far into that negative space a little too often. So here's what I'm going to do as almost a little bit of self-help, self-therapy, as I kind of reflect on the Miami Heat's offseason. I'm going to play this new game called Half Empty or Half Full. It's not really a new game. It's pretty self-explanatory. You've heard of this. But it's new to this podcast, and it's new to what I'm doing here. So we're going to look at the fact that the Heat did not trade for Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell. We're going to look at the narrative that is out there that the Eastern Conference has gotten better while the Miami Heat have either just remained stagnant or even gotten worse. But I want to start with the PJ Tucker thing because it is a big deal that the Miami Heat lost PJ Tucker and did not replace PJ Tucker and don't currently have a power forward on this roster. But I understand that I have been banging that table basically since they lost PJ Tucker. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start with the half empty argument. Okay. This is the argument that I guess I have been taking for the last several weeks. And then I'm going to follow up the half empty argument with the half full argument, why it could actually be a good thing for the Miami Heat, right? Okay. Pretty easy. Let's get started. The half empty part of the PJ Tucker thing. He was such a big deal to the Miami Heat on defense. He was the guy who really allowed Miami to switch everything. The Heat switched more often than probably any team in the NBA outside of maybe the Boston Celtics. And even then, Miami actually might have switched a little bit more than Boston. But a team that switched almost everything. And that really played into the strengths of not just PJ Tucker, but Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, all of these guys who are so switchable. You take PJ Tucker out of that defense, you have one less switchable defender, although I think the Miami Heat will continue to switch a whole lot. But that switching defense is just not going to be as strong. It's going to put a lot more, I think, on Bam Adebayo, who played really well defensively next to PJ Tucker. You look at that Philadelphia 76ers series, PJ Tucker was guarding Joel Embiid a lot in that series when Embiid finally got back from his injury, which frees up Bam to kind of play a little bit more free safety, be more of a wild card on defense and play more to his strengths, while PJ Tucker was big enough, at least thick enough, strong enough to put up with Joel Embiid. You don't replace PJ Tucker with a player similar to PJ Tucker. And in fact, you're probably gonna go small. Caleb Martin right now is penciled in on the depth chart as your starting power forward. Caleb Martin can't do that thing. He can't switch that way. Caleb Martin can't body up with Joel Embiid. He's 6'5", PJ Tucker is 6'5", but PJ Tucker is 6'5" both ways. You know what I mean? Like, that dude is thick, he is strong. And as much as Caleb Martin might want to try to put on strength and all those things, he's just not built like that, right? There's other things that he can do, but that's not what he's going to be able to do. He's not going to be able to take on those big man assignments from Bam. Bam can do it. It's just going to put a lot more on Bam Adebayo's plate. And so the other part of losing PJ Tucker is the team he went to. He went to Philadelphia, one of your rivals in the Eastern Conference. So instead of just losing one PJ Tucker, you lose a PJ Tucker and your rival gains a PJ Tucker. That's a two PJ Tucker swing right there. And PJ Tucker's a good player. That's the half empty argument. Let's discuss the half full argument. PJ Tucker was a really good corner three-point shooter. That said, nobody guarded him out there. Defenses didn't care. They left him wide open. As good of a corner three-point shooter as he wasn't providing spacing, right? And that's part of the thing that I think we kind of get wrong when we talk about spacing. You just look at the raw percentage point of what a player makes from three-point range, and you're going to assume that player is a floor spacer. And for the most part, that is true, okay? But there are rare occasions where that's not true. And a player like PJ Tucker wasn't, for whatever reason, defenses just were going to let him take that shot, mostly because they weren't afraid of what he was going to do off the dribble. He was a little bit more dynamic in Miami last year than he was in Milwaukee the year previous, but teams were basically saying, looking around and like, all right, PJ Tucker taking a corner three is better than Kyle Lowry handling the ball, Jimmy Butler handling the ball, Bam Adebayo getting going offensively. So we're just going to let PJ do his thing from the corner. So he wasn't really providing a whole lot of spacing, despite the fact that he made a whole lot of those threes. You replace him with somebody like Caleb Martin or Duncan Robinson or Max Strus in certain lineups. If you go small with Jimmy Butler at the four, that's going to create more space. Teams respect those players, close out on those players more than they do PJ Tucker. And so if you're going to go small and you're going to create more space, all of a sudden, that could help unlock a guy like Bam and Jimmy in the paint. It could help unlock a guy like Tyler Hero, who needs to get to the basket a little bit more. It could free up Kyle Lowry to drive and kick a little bit more often. And so I thought at times last year, Miami's offense got really stagnant. I mean, we used to talk all the time on this show after losses when we do our game recaps, okay, what was sort of the turning point in the game? And a lot of times in those losses, it would be that 4, 5, 6 minute stretch where they just couldn't score, right? Where they couldn't get a field goal to go in. And so not by losing PJ Tucker, you're not going to solve all of that, right? That's not quite the addition by subtraction that I'm saying. But if you could create more space and more of a dynamic offense, then maybe you're going to be able to avoid some of those dry spells in that same way. I like the idea of having a four out or a five out offense that goes small with a bunch of guys who you have to guard on the perimeter, both from a shooting perspective and from a ball handling perspective. So I like that idea. It's what the Warriors did to win the championship, right? Like, you had to respect everybody on the court except for basically, you know, Kevon Looney. But even with Draymond, he can't shoot, but he's a terrific ball handler, and you got to at least play him. So I do think that this could have a beneficial effect on Miami's offense while you are still losing something defensively. There's going to be enough guys defensively, and Eric Spoelstra coaching this team. The Heat are never going to be bad defensively. I still think they're going to be a top 10 team in defensive rating, although I don't think they'll be elite the way that they were last year. But I think the offense could make up for some of that slide defensively, while you're still going to be a top 10 defense, I think. The other part about PJ Tucker letting him walk is that you don't have to pay that contract, right? From a contractual standpoint, it's a really good argument to not pay PJ Tucker $40 million over 30 or over 3 years. You're not going to have to pay him $11.5 million when he's 39, 40 years old. I mean, that's not a good deal. When two, 3 years from now, that's going to look like a rough deal, and I don't know that you could trade him or get off of it. From Philadelphia's standpoint, I get it. Your window is right now, right? You've got Harden, you've got Joel Embiid. You're going to go for it. Respect. I get it. But if you're just talking about the contract in general, this would have been Miami's power forward for the next 3 years, PJ Tucker. And right now, I think he's a really good player. But 2, 3 years from now, that was going to be a tough thing to overcome on the books when you're talking about roster construction. All right, I want to talk about the Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell stuff. We're going to revisit this in a new way that you haven't heard before come up next here on Locked On Heat. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's opening week's games. BetOnline is also your continued source for all of your sport wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. And let's look at this on BetOnline. You can get the Miami Dolphins over-under win totals at 8.5. Am I too much of a homer to take the over on that? I kind of like 9 for them. Anyway, what do you think? Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. back here with Locked On Heat. We're playing half empty or half full. We just revisited the PJ Tucker situation, looking at it from a different lens, both lenses, both glasses, half empty, half full, self-explanatory. We're going to look now at Kevin Durant and Donovan Mitchell. Later on, we'll evaluate the statement that the Eastern Conference has gotten better while the Miami Heat have gotten worse. But again, let's talk about Durant. Let's talk about Donovan Mitchell. We're going to start half empty, then go half full. All right, so half empty, the negative point of view that I have largely, I think, been voicing, even if I haven't actively taken it personally, kind of the as a devil's advocate on this podcast, I feel like I have voiced this argument more often than not. But without Kevin Durant or Donovan Mitchell, the whole idea why the Miami Heat were chasing a star in the first place was in order to try to win a championship, right? Without Kevin Durant, without Donovan Mitchell, that pathway to the finals is much harder, at least just theoretically. They feel like, and when I say they, I mean the Miami Heat, that they need to pair Jimmy Butler with another superstar. How do we know this? Well, they kept the books clean. They did not re-sign PJ Tucker. They're remaining out of the luxury tax. They're not nudging up against the hard tax that could encumber them from executing a sign-and-trade down the road this season. And they talked to Brooklyn about KD. They talked to Utah about Donovan Mitchell. They've been talking about to a lot of teams about a lot of players. They are big fish fishing. They're looking for their whale, right? And that's what Pat Riley is trying to do. But if you look at this roster and what happened in the Eastern Conference last year, in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, they really did need another shot creator next to Jimmy Butler. And by not getting Durant or Mitchell, they really have not addressed that need. Okay, we'll put it that way. You also look at the fact that Milwaukee and Boston clearly, you know, made, or I should say, got better. Milwaukee by getting Chris Middleton back. Boston by making some improvements to the roster. Philadelphia and Brooklyn, they have higher ceilings if you just look at their best players. And so often, when we talk about what it takes to win a championship, you have to start with, okay, who's your top player? Who's your best guy, right? And if you look at Milwaukee, it's Giannis. He's done it before. If you look at Boston, it's Tatum. Can he take another leap? If you look at Philly, Joel Embiid is good enough to lead you to a championship. He's an MVP caliber player. Brooklyn, same thing. They have Kevin Durant, right? Their best player is good enough to be the best player on a championship winning team. And while everybody loves Jimmy Butler, and he's shown that he's gotten to the finals, he's never done it. He's never won a championship. And so to say that we know for a fact that he's good enough at this age, by the way, to be the best player on a championship team, I think he is, but we can't say it as a fact that he is. On the flip side, Donovan Mitchell did check all of those boxes as a co-star. Why was Miami chasing him? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of what he can do in the playoffs. 39 playoff games Donovan Mitchell has played in his career. Here are his stats. 28.3 points per game on 43% shooting, 37% from three-point range, 4.7 assists. That's what he averages in the playoffs. In 39 game playoff games in his career. That is spectacular. He is one of the best playoff scorers that we have in this league and that we have had in this generation in the NBA. He's awesome in the postseason. Tyler Hero played 40 games in the playoffs, so just one more than Donovan Mitchell. Here are Tyler Hero's stats. 14 points per game on 41.5% shooting, 32% from three-point range, and just 3.2 assists. I remember Tyler Hero's Eastern Conference Finals against Boston in the bubble and how great he was in that series. But outside of that series, Tyler Hero just hasn't been that good in the playoffs. He just hasn't. And he hasn't been anywhere close to Donovan Mitchell. So if you're going to go get Donovan Mitchell at the cost of Tyler Hero, you do that because you know Donovan Mitchell can deliver in the postseason. And we just really haven't seen it from Tyler Hero since his rookie year. That's the glass half empty point of view. Let's look at the glass half full. Well, number one, you would have had to give everything up for Kevin Durant. They were asking for Bam Adebayo. You lose Bam Adebayo, you've got no defense. You've got a shaky injury history, Kevin Durant, an older and aging Jimmy Butler, an older and aging Kyle Lowry. Where's that defense coming from? Those guys could play great defense, but you're asking those older players with injury history to play, to be the linchpins of your defense for an entire regular season and playoffs. I don't know that that group can get it done defensively. And even offensively, as great as Kevin Durant is, if you're asking them to do all of that defensively, can they be good enough offensively? I don't know. So by not and obviously Brooklyn wanted Bam Adebayo in any sort of Durant deal, which is ultimately why Brooklyn did not trade Kevin Durant is because they weren't getting any players as good as Bam Adebayo from any team, right? They were not getting that blue chip young player that they wanted because of those questions about Kevin Durant, not just his age, but sort of his disposition, just the fact that he seems unhappy all the time. And it's okay if we trade our entire future for Kevin Durant 2 years later, is he going to be unhappy here? Because he had the perfect situation in Golden State from a basketball perspective. He was able to create his own life in Brooklyn. And in both situations, he was unhappy, not to mention what was going on in Oklahoma City before all of that. So I get it. I get not wanting to tie everything you have and mortgage everything you have on Kevin Durant just because of his personality. I get it. I can't fault it, as talented as he is. And then in terms of Donovan Mitchell, look, I think Donovan Mitchell is awesome. Me and David have long been Donovan Mitchell fans on this podcast, but you have to trade Tyler Hero, who's 4 years younger and more cost-effective, and all of your picks. If you look at what Cleveland gave up, it was a really good young player in Colin Sexton and a pretty solid good young player in Lauri Markkanen, and the guy that they just took in the first round, plus three unprotected picks. Like, that's everything Miami's got, right? And the pick swaps. That's everything Miami's got. Like, if they were going to match that, it's their three unprotected picks, whatever pick swaps that they can muster. Tyler Hero, probably Nikola Jovic, and probably another young player like Strus or Vincent or Omer Yurtseven or something like that. Like, in order to match Cleveland's offer, that's probably what it would have cost. That is your entire future. That's a lot of your depth. And I don't think that, as good as Donovan Mitchell is, that closes the gap enough to Milwaukee or Boston where you can, you know, you can logically do that, where you could sort of talk yourself into that. So there's all of that. Plus, Tyler Hero is really good. Tyler Hero is really good. Sixth man of the year. Probably going to earn a promotion to the starting lineup this coming season. The Heat love his work ethic. I know that there's been a narrative out there that he maybe doesn't work hard. I think that is a little old. It's probably a couple years old now. Dude works really, really hard. I wrote a feature about it for the Miami Herald. That much is obvious. He wants to get better. And more importantly, he wants to add to his game. He wants to continue to evolve. He wants to be a better playmaker, a better spot-up shooter, a better off-the-catch shooter, a better off-the-dribble shooter. He wants to get to the rim more, and he wants to continue to get stronger. He wants to get better defensively. He wants to get better at all these things. And so he's not just a guy. People want to wonder, okay, you won six men a year. Are you just Lou Williams? Are you just Jordan Clarkson? And Tyler Hero does not want to be those players. He wants to be more than just sort of a one-dimensional scorer. He wants to be an all-around player, and I think that, and he's putting the work in. I think that bodes well for him taking another leap. The other part of not just Tyler Hero being good is I kind of like the young pieces that Miami has. I like the idea that you are able to have Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero at 25 and 22 years old, respectively. I like Nikola Jovic. I like him a lot, and I like the idea of him as a long-term partner next to Bam Adebayo in that front court. And that goes without saying that, you know, the 26-year-olds like Caleb Martin, Max Strus, Gabe Vincent, like those are good youngish players with a little bit more upside and provide quite a bit of depth. So I like the youth part of this team, maybe even more than I like the veteran part of this team, just because I don't know how longer the window is open for Jimmy Butler. Obviously, in making a Kevin Durant move, you would have been maximizing that window, but I like the fit of the young pieces together. Bam and Tyler finding that two-man game that was really that sort of started developing even more as towards the end of last season, plus the theoretical fit of Jovic with those two guys and whatever else Miami can do, because they have their picks, right? They have all of their picks except for the 2025 Oklahoma City pick. Like they currently own all of their other first-round picks. So this is a team that has drafted well in the past and has their picks to continue drafting well. So the youth movement of this thing, I really like. And that's the glass half full version of this, is they didn't give up on that. This is a team that's going to remain competitive right now because you've got Jimmy, Bam's really good, Tyler's really good, Kyle Lowry's really good. You have a good, deep team right now. You're going to remain competitive even if the pathway to the finals is harder because you don't have a Kevin Durant-style super, super duper star on your roster. But this is a team that's also going to compete for years to come. And because of whatever leap Bam and Tyler and whoever else in the future might be able to take, the future is still bright. The future is still bright. And that's something to root for if you're a Heat fan. The Eastern Conference has gotten better. It is going to be tougher for Miami to get through it. for them to even get the number one seed this season again. It's going to be really tough. We're going to talk about that next here on Locked On Heat. Back here with Locked On Heat, lockedonheat@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter and on Instagram at Locked On Heat. Thank you for everybody who comments on YouTube. Let us know what you think about the new look if you're watching here on YouTube. Like these videos and subscribe. Please like the videos. It really does help us as we continue to grow and show off what we could do here on YouTube. There is a statement out there that the Eastern Conference has gotten better and the Miami Heat have gotten worse. I want to take the half-empty view of that and the half-full view of that as we continue along with this. We'll start with half-empty. The Eastern Conference has gotten better and the Miami Heat have gotten worse. Well, it's hard to argue that that's not the case. Boston, by adding Malcolm Brogdon, Danilo Gallinari, they're young. Their best players, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, those guys are probably going to get better, right? I think that's safe to assume that those guys are going to continue to get better. They're well coached with a first-year coach who got them to the finals. He's learned lessons. He's going to be better at his job as well. Philadelphia got better. We talked about that. They got P.J. Tucker. They're going to have James Harden for a full year, who is apparently, reportedly, if you believe what's going around, what people are talking about around that team, that he's recommitted and ready for a big season. They added DeAnthony Melton, who I think is a nice young bench piece for them. Cleveland, obviously, gotten much better by adding Donovan Mitchell. Toronto is going to get better. Their young players are going to get better. Nick Nurse is an awesome coach. They added Otto Porter Jr., who just won a championship with the Warriors. They got better. The Knicks got better. They added Jalen Brunson. The Hawks got better. They added DeJounte Murray. It's hard to argue that there aren't a bunch of teams in the Eastern Conference who got better. They all made investments. They all made additions in a way that Miami just did not. They lost a starter, and they didn't sign a single outside free agent. The only player on this team who's not on a two-way contract, who was not on the roster last year, is Nikola Jovic, a very raw rookie who, look, as is the case with all rookies not drafted basically in the top five, you can't rely on them to make contributions as a rookie. So if the Heat are relying on Jovic and they are not as a first-year player, then you've got a problem, but they aren't doing that. And then you look at the other part of this. It's a deep Eastern Conference. If you even look at the teams that are probably got no chance at making the playoffs, Indiana, Detroit, Orlando, I would say probably Washington, although the Wizards probably don't want to believe that. Those are still teams trying to win games, right? You don't have an outright tanking team in that group outside of maybe Detroit and probably at some point Indiana if they end up moving off of Buddy Hield and Miles Turner eventually. There's not going to be a bunch of easy wins. I mean, even if you look at the Orlando Magic in Miami's own division, like this is a team that is growing, getting better, and is going to try hard to make the playoffs, at least the play-in tournament. And so I don't think for Miami there's going to be very few, I should say it that way, very few easy wins on the schedule for the Miami Heat, which is going to make that regular season a whole lot harder and make it even more difficult to get the number one seed again. And if you don't have the number one seed and you don't have home court advantage, that makes the playoff slog that much more difficult. So that's the half-empty argument. Let's look at the half-full argument. Is Boston really that much better? Malcolm Brogdon can't stay healthy for 40, 50 games in a season. He's super injury prone. I don't know how much of an addition that is. Will he be healthy by the playoffs? I don't know. Danilo Gallinari is already hurt. Robert Williams, his whole thing, the reason they got him on such a great contract was because he's so injury prone. He was healthy last year. Will he be healthy again this year? Al Horford, getting older. Are they as deep as we think in Boston? Or was last year just sort of best case scenario for all the guys on the roster? I think that's a fair thing to ask. If Tatum can't take a substantial enough leap, if this Jaylen Brown stuff gets out of hand with his future and that being in question, will he re-sign? Is he frustrated with always being involved in trade rumors? There is a version of this for the Boston Celtics where they don't repeat last year and they don't look as dominant as they did down the stretch of last season. The other part of this, too, is Philadelphia. All right? James Harden, you're talking the talk. We'll see. Joel Embiid, you're healthy for a couple of years. Can you stay healthy? Can you stay healthy? And then as far as Brooklyn is concerned, yeah, I know you've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons, but Let me know when Kyrie Irving is ready to play a full season. Let me know when he's ready to play 60 games. Apparently, according to the reporting around it, he didn't want to commit to a 60-game season in order to get a guaranteed portion of his contract. He didn't want that clause in his deal, which is why he wasn't able to come to an extension with Brooklyn. Ben Simmons, wake me up when he's playing basketball again. We have no idea. That dude hasn't played basketball in 2 years. The last time we saw him, he was afraid to dunk. Okay? So, on paper, the Brooklyn Nets look awesome. They do have a high ceiling, but I don't trust Ben Simmons. I don't trust Kyrie Irving. And then that's asking a whole lot of Kevin Durant. And we've seen his body break down over the last couple of years, too. He succumbed to some injuries. So, there's that. Milwaukee. We saw them lose one player in their big three and basically sputter out in the playoffs. Are we sure that's not going to happen again? They didn't really make any additions the way that Boston and Philadelphia did this offseason. So that's part of it. I know Cleveland, Toronto, the Knicks, Atlanta, they all got better, no doubt. But they're all really young, and there's not a ton of depth on those teams. They're young. They're good. I like the moves they made, but I don't think those teams are head over heels better than the Miami Heat. I think even losing PJ Tucker, the Heat are probably better than those teams. So there's that. If the bracket breaks right for Miami and if they get more health than they did in the playoffs last year, because let's face it, like the Heat were just not healthy last year. Kyle Lowry in the playoffs broke down. Tyler Hero had a groin injury, right? This was not a healthy team in the playoffs last year. Even Jimmy Butler missed games in the Eastern Conference Finals because of injury. So if the Heat can get healthier, if they could, even if they don't have the number one seed, if they are healthier in the postseason, and the bracket breaks right, there could still be a pathway for them to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, perhaps even to the NBA Finals. That's the half-full version of it. And it's also going to take leaps from Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo, who, like I just said, the Heat love their work ethic. The Heat love their ceilings. They're young. They're going to get better. Bam Adebayo is just sort of now entering his prime. Tyler Hero is far away from his prime and took a major leap last year, and we expect him to take another leap this coming year. So, oh, and by the way, the Heat are also a team ripe for a trade at the deadline. They've got a bunch of tradable contracts that they can make and still have draft picks because they didn't take those big swings on Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant. So this is a team that if they need reinforcements by the deadline, they're equipped to go ahead and go find those players that could help them for the playoff run. So that's half empty. That's half full. I did my best. Let me know what you think in the comments. We will be back next week with more episodes of Locked On Heat, your first listen every day. Remember to like and subscribe here on YouTube or wherever it is that you get your podcast. Now, for your second listen, go check out the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022, an 8-episode extravaganza to get you ready for the NFL season, the local team experts of the Locked On Podcast Network, plus the betting angle from Lee Sterling of Locked On Bets, all combining into one Ultimate NFL Preview. Search for the Ultimate Pro Football Preview 2022 on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.